Good morning, church family. I'll be reading from Matthew 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only an hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last.
Thank you, Alex. Before we get started, I want to say thank you to you as a church for being a place that has been very, very generous in allowing me to spend some time with my family, not only pre-Cooper being born, but before, to make sure that Kaylee's safe during our wonderful pandemic time that we are living in, and doing that. And I want to say thank you to you all for allowing me to be able to have that space to be there for my family, because I know that is not always the case in employment and other situations. And so I want to thank you as a church family for letting me be able to put my family in such high priority and keeping them safe and being there for them. And so thank you. I would not want to work anywhere else. I love this church. I've been here now 32 years since a little kid, and so I really enjoy it, and I really enjoy you guys and how you guys have impacted me and my family, both my newer family and my older family, and so I appreciate all you guys do. Yes, I did mention Cooper Allen. My son was born on September 9th. That's about a week and a half ago. It's a good thing we're not filming in 4K, because you'd probably see the dark shadows under my eyes from lack of sleep. And I forgot how little sleep you get with a baby. I know it's only been like 3 years with Harley, but you still forget until you're in the middle of it. And you're like, "Oh, I can handle it. I can handle it." I'm not a nap person. I took like a 2-hour nap yesterday. And so, but Cooper is healthy. He is chunky. He likes his food. He is cute. He looks just like his little sister did when she was born. If you look at the pictures back and forth, I was going to get it. I just didn't have time this morning to put it up on the screen, but there's side by side. Literally, Kaylee and I both had to take a double take, and we thought we were having deja vu when Cooper was taken out and put on the table and they were checking. I was like, "Wait a minute, is this Harley or is this Cooper? Did I just like flash back 3 years? What's going on here?" But he looks just like she did, only he has a little red tint to his hair. So, my Scottish ancestry is coming through a little bit, I guess. But he's doing good. Mama's doing great, still recovering and things like that. And so thank you guys for your prayers and your encouragement. But we're doing really good. And as I said, Harley didn't think he was going to be real. And so, but now she is probably like Miss Compassionate, and she wants to give Bubba kisses all the time and give him hugs and take care of him, make sure if he doesn't have a blanket on him, she makes sure he's got a blanket on him and all that kind of stuff. And so she's really loving that. And then so we know that the future will come. I know you guys that are parents who have more than one kid that that fun time of lovey-dovey tends to go away. And other things start to develop. Don't you love it? And one of the things, and this goes along with where we're going with this, is probably the statement you have heard, either as a parent, or maybe you said it as a kid, or you're saying it now, or you've heard it in other situations. That's not fair. Heard it before? Yeah? Do what? Life ain't fair. See? Well, Larry's got it figured out. Don't you love that? That was always my answer back from somebody whenever I said, that's not fair. Well, life's not fair. I was like, oh, love your compassion. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah. But like, we've either uttered it, we've heard it, we've said it, whatever. That's not fair. And really, that's the exact same thing that's going on in this passage. The people, Jesus is telling this parable. The statement back to them is, that's not fair. What are you doing? I worked longer days, and yet I got paid the same amount as the guy who only worked an hour. That's not fair. I mean, have you ever been in that situation? Maybe somebody you work with, maybe a sibling, something like that. They didn't work as hard as you, or you as hard as you thought that they did. And yet for some reason at the end, they either got a raise, they got a promotion, they got the same pay, they got the same recognition, or maybe a project in school. You were working on a project in school and you did like 90% of the work, but the whole team got an A. It's like, wait a minute, can we split up this A a little bit, right? You ever been there? It's not fair. Yet Jesus tells this parable and kind of throws a whole monkey wrench in it by saying the kingdom of heaven is like, and he tells this parable. That doesn't seem very fair, does it? I mean, if we're honest, if this was something that was going on in your workplace, you'd be pretty upset about it. Like, wait a minute, I worked all day. This guy only worked an hour, and yet he got paid the same amount. I mean, I would be a little upset about it if I had worked all day and got paid the same amount as somebody who worked an hour. Like, wait a minute, this isn't fair. What are you doing? Like, I don't want to work for this guy anymore. I don't want to work in this place anymore. That's not fair. Yet Jesus tells this parable not to talk about fairness. If we automatically jump to the idea of justice and fairness in this passage, we've missed really the intention that's going on there. So, I mean, really what we have to do is, again, one of the things that we do too often when we look at a scripture is we just completely pull it out of context where it was in its passage, in its book. And if we look at the chapter just before this, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples about these rewards are going, the inheritance that they have and different things that are going to happen. And they ask this question, who's going to be the greatest and all that kind of stuff. And Jesus gets to this point and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like, and he tells this parable. And you can imagine the disciples are probably like, wait a minute, you were just talking about we would get this inheritance, we were going to be in charge of the church to come and all this kind of stuff. And now you're talking about everybody's going to be equal. Can you imagine maybe they're scratching their heads? And they're thinking, well, which one is it, Jesus? Which one is it? Is it everybody's the same or there's going to be some type of hierarchy? Which one's it going to be, Jesus? And if we look at this passage and we think about justice and fairness, we've missed it. Jesus isn't talking about justice. He's not talking about fairness. What he's talking about is grace. He's talking about grace. The moment we automatically jump to this is Jesus' talk about justice and that that's how he views justice, that for some reason those that didn't put in the effort all of a sudden get more than someone else, we've totally eliminated the rest of the gospel where Jesus talks about everyone coming to him as equal and everyone has a place and all those kinds of things. But what he's trying to say is my grace, this grace that God gives, doesn't matter when, how hard you worked, how little you worked, how little you believed, how much you believed. It's all the same. It covers everyone the same. Whether it was an hour ago or 40 years ago. You know, that sometimes hurts us. What, if we want to be really honest, church people, okay? People that have been a part of church for a long time, we like to sometimes think, even though we don't say it, but sometimes in the back of our head we're thinking, you know, I've been a member here for 30 plus years. My voice should have some clout to it. I should have a little bit of oomph. Pastor Todd, you better listen to me. I've been here longer than you have, right? Sometimes I say that to him, but I'm just kidding. No, I don't. But no, like the whole idea is like, you've been here so long, or you've put in so much time or whatever, and or maybe you do so much. I've been teaching that children's Sunday school class since I could actually sit crisscross applesauce. You know, those kinds of things. Like, I've been teaching it for years and years and years, and I should have a little bit of clout, right? Right? I mean, that's sometimes what happens to us. I mean, I'll be honest. It pops into my head. Be like, well, I've been here longer than you have, so I should have a little bit more of a voice, right? Okay? And Jesus completely flips that idea. He's like, hey, guess what? This hierarchy that you've put in more time than somebody else, or you've put in this amount of years or whatever, or you've served in this Sunday school class, or you've been a deacon for this long, or you've been, you fill in the blank, that all of a sudden you have more clout or more value than anybody else, totally devalues grace. God's grace has no hierarchy. God's grace doesn't keep tabs. God's grace does not set a level of achievement or reward. It is equal across the board for all people. It is offered with no response needed. It is offered freely. It is abundant. It never runs out, and everyone gets the same amount. Grace is free and has no hierarchy. Everyone comes to grace the same. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across, because he's not only talking to his disciples, which who's talking to in this passage primarily, but he's also talking to anybody who's going to be coming after him and following him in the future. Is, guess what? Just because you became a Christian at 7 years old and you're 77 years old now does not mean you have more clout than somebody who just became a Christian a month ago, who just made that decision to follow Jesus. Everyone has value, and the church needs to hear the fact that we all have value. And if we're going to continue to just say that I'm more important than someone else, or I have more value than someone else, we've missed grace entirely. You see, God's grace violates our instinct of fairness. It really does. I mean, if we're going to put God's grace under the level of fair, we'll always have a problem with grace, because grace never comes out fair, so to speak, the way the world talks about fairness. Grace is for all, the same amount. No matter what's happened, no matter what you've done, grace is free to all. No hierarchy. Nobody gets more than the other. It violates our instinct of fairness, because ultimately that's, we want to be fair, right? I mean, parents, you know, I'm getting ready to start this now that I have two, okay? They don't really know just yet, but like, we're already talking. Kaylee and I are talking, well, we need to make sure we don't do a little bit more for Cooper than we did for Harley, okay? We better take the same amount of pictures just because we took a bunch with Harley, which is funny because Cooper's already ahead of the game a little bit, because we got to take more pictures of him when he was born because of the circumstances that were going on when Harley was born. We weren't allowed to go in with the phone and stuff. And so, like, I've got all kinds of different things that I got to do with Cooper that I didn't get to do with Harley. But, however, Cooper got to be at the hospital just with Mom and Dad, and nobody got to visit him. And Harley had, like, the whole town of Tuttle and Cushing and everybody in between come visit her while she was in the hospital, because there was no pandemic, okay? And so, you know, you try and equal out the fairness. You know, sometimes there's different things that you want to make sure one kid has the other. As equal to the other, you got to have the same amount of presents or the same money spent. Or if you're like my mom, she not only wanted to have the same amount of money, but even if like one item was more expensive, she would buy just little tiny ones so that everybody had the same amount of presents to open, because she wanted to make sure it was fair to everybody. You hear me, Casey? Okay, so like, the whole idea here is that everything's got to be fair. And you want to make sure so that you don't have that statement, Mom, Dad, that's not fair. They got more than me. And we laugh about it when it comes to that kind of stuff. But how many times in our head have we thought that way within the church? God, that's not fair. Why do they get that? Why do I have to endure this? Why do they not have to endure that? Why do they get this and I get that and all that? And we set some type of level of God's grace that, like, well, why did they get this and I didn't? And why did I get this and they didn't? And so on and forth. And we try and put this level of fairness. And why is it not just? Why is it just? So on and so forth, all the way down the line. And we miss it completely. God's grace is not fairness. It's not about fairness. It's about being offered the love of God, the grace of God through Jesus for all people, the same amount, no matter where you come from, where you've been, what you do, what you've done. It's all the same. Everyone has the same opportunity to experience God's grace as the next. It just may be a little bit different because we come from different places. We come from different circumstances. We come from different sufferings or good places. But God's grace is the same. It's always there. It always loves us. It always covers up where we've messed up. And it shows us a whole new level of the kingdom of God to know that God's grace is the same across the board. You see, this parable, again, is not meant for justice. It's a harsh reminder, though, that the world is much like this parable, that there is no justice like this. God's grace surpasses justice because we know that we live in a world that justice sometimes is relative. It just is. Some people get it, some people don't. Some people offer it, some people don't. And justice goes back and forth where you came from, what you've been through. And we could tell story after story where certain people have not been offered the justice that they deserve. I mean, think about all the different things that go on in the world around us, both here in this community as well as beyond that into international community. Justice isn't always fair. Justice doesn't always come to everyone. But grace does. And we get the chance to offer that grace just as God did, freely, no expectations, completely offering his love. I want to read this little excerpt from a commentary. It's by N.T. Wright. It's a little long, so just bear with me. It says, God's grace, in short, is not the sort of thing that you can bargain with or try to store up. It isn't the sort of thing that one person can have a lot of and someone else only a little. The point of the story is that what people get from having strictly a reward for work done. God doesn't make contracts with us as if he could bargain or negotiate for a better deal. He makes covenants in which he promises us everything and asks of us everything in return. When he keeps his promises, he is not rewarding us for effort, but doing what comes naturally to his overflowing, generous nature. God keeping his promises with us, keeping his covenants, is not because we did something right. It's because he's God, and he is grace. We don't earn that grace. We don't develop a hierarchy where we have been a part of the faith for so long that we get a little bit more than someone else. Grace is offered freely because it's the promise of God that he offers it to us freely. No matter what, we don't earn it. We don't do things to get it. It is free. That is its value. It's not a wage to be earned, but rather it's a promise that is kept. And in return, we then have the opportunity to react the same way. Are we offering grace and love to others based on what they do for us? Or are we offering it freely just as the promise of God did for us? Are we promising others love and grace just as God promises us? Or are we setting some type of expectation for them to get it? This is the point of the parable. It's not about justice or fairness. It's about grace. Not only how we have received it, but our response to it. So the question, the challenge that we have for all of us is, how are we going to respond to God's grace? How are we going to respond in our living to God's grace? Are we going to be then people who offer that same love and grace? Or are we going to be some people who set expectations for people to meet in order to get that grace? You see, following Jesus is not about a bunch of tasks that you have to complete. It's just about following. It's about following him wherever he leads, knowing that we are going to mess up, that we aren't going to be perfect, but we're going to try and be like Jesus. Show his grace, show his love in all that we do.